Pass sweep right on second and goal from the knife. Running it right. Yeah. Harris into the end zone untouched. Damien Harris gallops to the score. The Patriots take the first lead.
Time for the New England Ford rushing update. That was Damien Harris with a 9-yard touchdown run at the time to make it Patriots 7, Texans nothing. You figured, oh, this is going to be ground and pound all day. Not so much. That was brought to you, though, by your New England Ford dealers, where the Ford Built for the Holiday sales event is kicking off with great deals across the Ford lineup. Hurry in for the best selection. This is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and joined by Greg Bernard of BostonSportsJournal.com. So after that, Greg, I felt like, when Houston tied it at 7-all, felt like, well, run on the ball? Nah, we don't want to do that anymore. Let's have Cam Newton throw it 40 times. What was with the game plan today?
I'm not sure. All of a sudden, they went down on the first drive and did really well. It was really balanced. It looked like they were going to be able to do that all day. They even did it to start the next drive where Harris went for 7 yards and 4 yards, and then it went Newton incomplete, Newton to Burkhead for minus 2 yards after that. And at that point, it was 7-7. They did score a field goal on the drive after that. I have a hard time telling you what exactly happened. I do know that the game got away from them right before halftime, and I thought that was the difference in the game, and that this team got down 11, and it was something that they couldn't really dig themselves out from. They just couldn't get the game going their way, where they had a chance before halftime, and they let it slip on that third and seven conversion to James White, that little swing pass.
Oh, to the right.
To the right, where Ryan Izzo missed. It was a perfectly called play by Josh McDaniels. He guessed right on the blitz. It was man-to-man. He had White going to the right. Everybody else was coming left. It was basically a clear-out play. The only problem was Ryan Izzo missed his legal pick. The linebacker covering White was right along the line of scrimmage. All he had to do was get in the way, get a piece of him, and White goes for about probably 20, 25 yards, and the Patriots likely run out the first half, and they get points, probably a field goal or a touchdown or what have you, and they have a chance for a double score. Instead, Izzo doesn't execute the block. They have to punt. The Texans get the ball. They go right down. They score a touchdown. It's 21-10 at that point. And the game was just – the Patriots had lost all control of the game.
Well, it was 14-10, right, when that happened? And then, that Kiki Kuti touchdown, 21-10, it does feel like, oh, this is going to be a hell of an uphill climb. But they still had chances there in that second half, though.
Yeah, I mean, they did. I mean, I just – to me, it looked like, it was a lack of execution. They just couldn't they were back to being the grenade offense, where it was like, whether it was penalties, and they set a season high with 7 penalties today. Most of them felt like they were on the offensive side of the ball. Cam Newton throwing balls into people's feet, batted passes, missed blocks, missed – I thought one of the keys in this game, especially down the stretch, was – I think I saw a defense in the Texans that knew exactly, basically without Brady back there, to set the protections and thwart what the Texans wanted to do defensively. They looked like they were salivating to bring sort of different pressure looks against Cam Newton, because I think Romeo knew and that whole coaching staff knew that Cam Newton's very limited on his controls with the Patriots offense at the line of scrimmage. And so I saw a lot of, they'd show one look and send a different blitz. And I don't know if I've ever seen a Patriots game where there's been that many free rushers. And so, you combine all of that, and it was not good offensively.
Hey, Greg, just looking at it here, the defense only gave up 6 points in the second half. And I felt like the Patriots had multiple chances to win this game. I'm pretty hard on Josh McDaniels today. I know you mentioned a couple of good, calls that he made, but do you think at all that they came in today hoping or wanting Cam Newton to throw 40 times? And, Belichick after the game said that he was fine with the way that they moved the football, but why? Were they just trying to not give Damian Harris carries? Did the Burkhead injury change things? Like, why do you think he threw 40 times and they went away from the run?
Well, I think the score had a big thing to do with it. You know, I don't know. Josh is going to have to, you know, answer that on Tuesday whenever he talked. Whenever he talks, I couldn't tell you. I mean, you know, I didn't have a humongous problem with what they were doing offensively. I mean, they were moving the ball. I mean, you know, look, first possession out of halftime, first play of the game, Harry gets a 10-yard penalty. It's first and 20. They have to punt. I mean, I can't. I don't really think you can blame the offensive coordinator there. The second play, or the second drive, even on that third and one where Burkhead got injured, everybody's like, "Oh, how do you call that?" Well, the play third and four, they ran a third and four toss to Rex Burkhead last week, the same exact play, and it didn't work. Why? Because they didn't block it right this time. You know, they come back down, they get a touchdown. You know, so I don't look at it as a case of them really, you know, I just can't put a ton on Josh McDaniels. I saw a ton of bad execution. And when that happens, I don't care what plays you're calling. When you're not executing blocks properly, when you're not protecting the quarterback, when the quarterback's throwing easy throws that are put in the game plan to get drives and first and tens off to good starts, and the quarterback is bouncing passes, I really have a hard time to, you know, going to the offensive coordinator. That's just me. I mean, you guys can say what you want, but I just saw, to me, and I've watched this team a lot, I saw a lot of bad execution out there.
Well, yeah, no, like, look, Cam Newton on these little passes, these little, like, you know, trying to set up screens, or it's a guy in the flat, like, that he keeps throwing it at these guys' feet, it's just, like, it's so frustrating, Greg. Like, is it because he can't set his feet? Is it the shoulder issue, or is it just, you know, the mechanics are off? What is it? Why does that keep happening?
Yeah, I think it's those mechanics. It's just it's infuriating watching it. Like, you're just like, dude, just step into the throw and make the throw. I mean, it's really not that hard. I mean, you know, yes, there are little touch passes and things like that, but you're a professional quarterback. Like, you know, these are the plays that you're supposed to do. You know, to go back to what Joe was talking about, looking through the plays, you know, again, towards the end of the third quarter, they come out first and 10, you know, they're down a touchdown, first play, minus two. You know, then they get 15 yards back. They get a first down back after that. Then it's Harris for minus three. Like, they were just behind the sticks, you know, all the time. I mean, even when they overcame stuff, third and eight, they get a conversion. Joe Tooney has a holding call. Now it's first and 20. They end up converting that. And then it's Cam Newton sacked for 9 yards. Like, it's just, there was no consistency in terms of the execution, and certainly Cam factored into that, including, you know, batted passes, swing passes. Like, this is a team, we've seen who they are to this point. They're not very good offensively. They need to execute the plays that are there that are layups, and right, they didn't do that today, and then it gets harder and harder to overcome.
All right, want to get your thoughts on the lack of execution on the defensive side of things, too, coming up here. More with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. You want to join us? Talk with Greg, 617-779-0985. Back after this, you're in the Shaw's Patriots postgame show on the Safety Insurance, 98.5 of Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
Takes the snap. He throws it over the middle. The catch made running to the near side by Moncrief. Gets away to the 20. Sideline 25. And Dante Moncrief sidesteps to a first down, running it out for the Patriots with a catch and carry for a first down.
Tell me we got another receiver here that can run the under, plucks the ball in his hands, sheds the tackler, and then goes up the sideline.
Nice,
I like
work.
It.
Dante Moncrief's first catch, highlighting our postgame first down recap. New England converting 22 first downs today. That's another $2,200 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at CreditUnionsKidsAtHeart.org. Jim Murray, Joe Murray,
here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, joined by Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Patriots lose to the Houston Texans today, 27-20. They fall to 4-6. Where does the blame lay in the defensive side of things today for you, Greg? I mean, I felt like at times, especially late, 3rd and 10, Patriots go back to the three-man rush. They're playing zone. Easy first down throw for Deshaun Watson. So is it lack of pass rush? Is it the inability to cover any kind of tight ends? Who are you most upset with defensively today?
Yeah, Jim, I mean, right now I'm puzzled by the plan of the Patriots, as opposed to, you know, Josh McDaniels and the offensive side, where you're dealing with a new quarterback, you know, limited weapons, some new weapons out there, you know, a lot of moving parts. I mean, on defense, they've largely been who they've been all along. It's a lot of the same group as last year. Certainly there were departures, but, you know, they've been playing with the same group for a while. They know, you know, what's going on. They still have, you know, arguably the most talented secondary in the league. And, you know, yet this is a team that basically, look, Deshaun Watson was great against them last year with all their players. He was even better today. I just am puzzled by what exactly the mentality was on the defensive side of the ball. What was the plan? I mean, how did you want to handle Deshaun? I mean, basically it looked like they were hoping, all right, we're going to stop the run and we're hoping that Deshaun Watson's just off. And he wasn't. That they were just going to play coverage. I mean, I saw mostly coverage. Sure, they sent pressure sometimes, but I saw a team that was a lot of three-man rush, like you said, a lot of zone. And they were basically relying on Deshaun Watson to just not be all that accurate. And he was throwing darts all over the place. It looked like a training camp 7-on-7. Like, you might as well have just eliminated the defensive and offensive lines, because it didn't really matter. I mean, Deshaun Watson just did what he wanted to. It looks like he was just working on his accuracy, and he was deadly. I mean, look, this is a Patriots defense that, you know, hasn't been great this year, but I was just looking at the stats. So coming into this game, they allowed 26 completions over 20 yards in the first 9 games. So that's less than 3 a game. Today they gave up 6. And to me, that's where it really started in this game. They could not stop Deshaun Watson. They did a few times to get a few punts, but really, I mean, even the last stop by Duggar was basically incidental contact. It wasn't really a good play by the Patriots. They were lucky that it wasn't a touchdown. But I didn't like the plan. I didn't know what the plan was. And the Texans just had their way with the Patriots.
I had issues with them, I guess, not knowing when to go man or zone. Late in the game there was a 3rd and 4. They went zone, and Watson just picked to whoever he wanted to. Whose call is that? On defense, is it Mayo? Is it Steven Belichick? Because why would you go zone on a 3 and 4 in that situation, or on a 3rd and 4?
I have no idea. I mean, as far as I know, the way they formulate the plan, the defensive plan, and I don't know how much has changed since last year, is that Bill Belichick has a lot of input, basically tailors the game plan and paint by numbers for the game. Like, in certain situations, we're going to do this. So obviously everybody was on the same plan, on the same page, that they were going to do this in this game. And that's sort of where the fault lies. I mean, everything defensively falls on Bill Belichick. I mean, that's his baby. Josh McDaniels basically runs the offensive side. Bill has a little bit of input, really, but McDaniels is left on his own largely with the offense. And so the defense is all Bill. I mean, it's his baby. And so anything that went wrong on the defense, I point the finger squarely at Bill. And to me, this did not look like a good plan. It looked like, as opposed to Lamar Jackson, who you saw they had a concrete plan because they knew he had weaknesses that he was going to target, it looked like they thought Deshaun Watson didn't have any weaknesses. That's the way Bill talked about him in the pregame with Zolak. And they were just hoping he was going to give them enough plays, and he didn't. He was surgical today. He was incredible.
All right, let's go to Blake in Holden with a question for Greg Bedard here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Jim. So my problem was with Cam, especially on the last real drive they had with like a minute left, because he got rushed there and just kind of heaved it up and it was incomplete. His inability to read a defense was pissing me off the entire game. It became a huge problem. It was a problem all game. There was one play where he just could not stop the rush. Bad offensive line. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Greg, I can understand a guy not feeling the blitz from his blind side, but how about from the side that he throws? Like, that to me, and I've seen it a few times this year, like, I just, sometimes his pocket presence, I just don't get it.
Yeah, normally when that happens, I'm going to throw this out the window with Cam because I just don't know at this point. But normally when that happens, if there's front side pressure and the quarterback's reacting really late and he's affected or sacked or whatnot, normally it's a problem with the blocking because the quarterback expects that player to be accounted for and he hasn't been. And I did see a lot of that, including on the last play. The Texans were a bit overloaded on the left side. That was, you know, blind side, so it's a different circumstance. But, you know, they basically had two guys blocking one guy, and James White was going the wrong way. That was just an encapsulation of the whole day. They had issues deciding who they were going to block. I remember, I think the play that you're talking about, I think he got sacked or he got pressured. And the whole play was a big cluster because, you know, Cam, to me, listening on the television, he declared the mic to be the safety all the way on the left side, but right before he snapped the ball. And that's not the way this offense works. Normally, it's, you know, the first thing out of the huddle is you identify the mic, and then that sets where the protection goes and basically midline of the protection. And he called some safety on the left side. And I remember thinking to myself, well, how's this protection going to work? And it didn't. And, you know, to me, I think there's a problem between Cam and the protection. And that has been an underlying issue this whole season that fans really don't know a lot about. And it's hard to really measure, even for me watching the game. But to me, it's been part of the issue with the passing game this year is that the protection has not been sound in some of these games. And that, it's tough to operate that way.
We'll have more coming up here with Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. You want to get on with Greg, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. As the Patriots fall to the Houston Texans today, 27-20. They're now 4-6 on the season. When we come back, we'll ask Greg the all-important question, does this mean the end of the path? We'll get to that after the headlines here with Joe Murray. But first, let's pause 10 seconds here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Takes the snap, tosses it left for Burkett, tries to get outside. Burkett is put down by Roby and company.
What a play.
He was undercut as Roby came charging in. A second defensive back there as well, Justin Reed, and Burkett is injured.
And
he
Roby
was thrown for a loss on the play, and Burkett immediately attended to by Mark Price, Patriots team doctor, and Jim Whalen, their longtime trainer.
And Rex Burkhead's right knee is gone.
Yeah, that was brutal. And now the Patriots fear Rex Burkhead tore his ACL in the loss to the Texans today. Stop and Shop in New England running back Sony Michel. They've teamed up for 5 yards for families. For every 5 yards rushing, Stop and Shop donates 5 bags of groceries for hungry families. New England has rushed for 1,536 yards this season, so Stop and Shop donates 1,536 bags of groceries, up to 2,500 bags. Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Greg, that one's going to hurt because I feel like Burkhead has been the offensive MVP of this season, or at least the most consistent offensive player since week one.
Yeah, there's no question he's played really well this year. And, you know, anytime they've needed him, he's basically made a play for this team. You know, look, I mean, he's a role player for this team. It's good to have role players, but, you know, this team has, you know, bigger fish to fry. And, you know, I think that they need a lot more guys to contribute. Now, Sony Michel was not active today. I was not surprised at that. I think they're sort of working his way back. Plus, also, I think they're slow playing it a little bit because they know they have something good in Damian Harris, and I'm not exactly sure where Sony was going to fit before Burkhead's injury. But, you know, that's where he fits now.
Well, what do you think, Greg? They're now 4-6. You had Cleveland win today, but Denver's currently up on Miami. Indianapolis down a couple of scores to Green Bay. No one really expected the Patriots to beat the Ravens last week. So is it all even, Steven? Is the path still exist?
I have not quit on the path yet. I do believe in that. You know, look, we thought before the Ravens game, we're like, look, they'll probably get out of here 1-1. And they did. it was the complete opposite way than we thought. And it's disappointing, certainly, because you thought that they gained, for the first time all year, you thought that they gained ground, that they got a game ahead of things, and then they just gave it back. And so it's certainly a lot harder now. But, you know, no, I don't think it's over. Part of it is, look, before the season, I predicted them to start 4-6 with a loss in Houston. Now, I didn't figure it would be against this Texans team. And I predicted them to win their final six games. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. Could it still happen? Yes, but I think that's what it's going to take, and I would put the chances of that about 5%. But it's not over yet.
Hey, Greg, I wanted to just ask you defensively. I was yelling at the television at times. And maybe you were asked this, I think, on Felger Maz this week, but why Terrez Hall not on the field, Bentley in there? And I don't know, at times I just felt like Bentley can't run with Watson. Why did he get less reps this week? And Josh Uche, I think, needs to be on the field a little bit more, and maybe they can find, you know, more snaps for him. But I thought he did a decent job, you know, trying to at least, you know, cover Deshaun Watson in the run today. But can you just bring up the Terrez Hall versus the Bentley thing? Is it because Bentley called the defense? Because I think he gives you a little bit more Hall on the football field.
I think Joe, that you are correct in probably if you said that Terrez Hall is a better athlete than Juwan Bentley at linebacker. I might not disagree with you with that, but at least the way I saw the game last week, I did not think Hall played well at all. I had him for a bunch of mental mistakes in that game. I didn't think he was good. You know, I think he's good as a backup, but, you know, I think at this point in time, in terms of experience and minimizing mental mistakes, which is really where the Patriots are at this point in time, to me, it was clear. And Tony asked me about this on Tuesday, and I told him at the time, I said, Bentley's clearly the better player right now. And so I think that's what they went with. I think they saw it the same way. And Uche, yeah, I mean, look, I'm all for it too, but, you know, a lot of these coaches' decisions, whether it's, you know, Duggar looks great against the Seahawks and then he doesn't play for like a month, or, you know, what have you, all of this comes down to the coaches know better than anybody. We're not watching practice. We don't know what's going on. Usually playing time is reflective on what's going on behind the scenes with practice and film study and all that stuff. And right now, the guys who aren't playing are not measuring up for whatever reason.
And that's why I'm blaming the coaching today. I feel like a lot of it, execution certainly is there at times. And again, Cam Newton throwing the ball 40 times, I don't think gives you your best chance to win. I just want to throw one more thing at you. Gunnar Olszewski was embarrassing today. Everything he did as a returner, like, could that be a cuttable offense, what he did today?
I think so. And, you know, I actually, if I were the general manager of the Patriots, Ryan Izzo and Gunnar Olszewski would both be released upon getting back to New England tonight. They're just not good enough. And at least Jordan Thomas, the new kid at tight end, got in there a little bit. He looked like he can bring you something, at least blocking. I don't know about as a pass catcher. He didn't really get off the ball very well from what I saw. But I don't. You know, Izzo just is not good enough, and neither is Olszewski at this point. And I think I think the Patriots need to do something to shake something up. That's not a humongous name or anything like that, but it shows that there are consequences. I just don't think those two players are measuring up right now.
Tommy and Milton, you're next here on the Shaw's Patriots post-game show with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hi, guys. Listen, I wish I had enough time, but Greg, you're right about Izzo and Olszewski. They shouldn't even be on a Pop Warner team. That's the first thing. Okay, on the front line, N'Keal Harry stinks. Isaiah Wynn stinks. Joe Tooney gone. Stephon Gilmore gone. And how did you like Deshaun Watson stomping Devin McCourty? Just knocked him for a friggin' loop. And I can't. Why is Steven Belichick on that friggin' thing? And by the way, Greg, two wins for the Patriots left the rest of the year. It's against the Jets and against the Chargers. That's it.
Well, I will agree with Tommy on that. He came in hot there, Greg. But I didn't think it was a particularly good game for Devin McCourty. I thought he was one of the detriments in that secondary today.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that the Patriots' top four tacklers in this game were Adrian Phillips, Stephon Gilmore, Kyle Duggar, and Jonathan Jones, four defensive backs. I made the point a couple weeks ago that it's embarrassing for defense to have two defensive backs that high on the list. Now it's four. So that just sort of tells you where the defense was today. They couldn't really do anything well. And I think to me, and you asked me this before, Jim, to me, a lot of this stuff with this defense starts with, we've talked about stopping the run, and they did that decently today, but the lack of a pass rush. I mean, you know, you can't ask, like, the Kuti touchdown right before halftime. There is just too much time for them to cover. I mean, it's like from the 4-yard line, I think. Like, really, those plays should be bang, bang. And you can't ask, I forget even who it was, probably Jonathan Jones on that, like, you know, to run back and forth along the back line. That just means that the pressure is not there. And to me, that's really where it starts. And then it's a whole trickle-down effect. I mean, Devin McCourty's a whole nother side topic, but – you know, with Stephon Gilmore back, I was more of a proponent of giving J.C. Jackson, leave him at cornerback, let Jason play some of the old Daron Harmon role at deep safety, and let Devin be more the robber, the joker, the guy jumping routes in the middle of the field where he was last year and the couple years before that. Because right now, this deep safety thing really isn't suiting him. It's not his fault. I think it's the pass rush, but it's just not his forte.
Well, I want to know if it's a reason for concern next week as they'll see another mobile quarterback in Kyler Murray. We'll get that in our final segment with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Coming up next, you want to join us, 617-779-0985. A couple open lines you want to get on with Greg. That's coming up next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show on the Safety Insurance 98.5 of Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
Fourth down and four from the 24-and-a-half. Two receivers right. The Texans come with a blitz, and Newton's in trouble. Spins away from Johnson. Moves up. Shakes another defender. Throwing as he falls to the turf, and the ball flutters incomplete. And maybe with it, the hopes for the Patriots of some kind of second-half push toward a pathway to another postseason.
Welcome back to Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, our final segment here with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. Avidia Bank and Stephon Gilmore, they've teamed up for Be a Champion for a Child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. New England's defense forcing no turnovers today. But, so far this season, Avidia Bank has donated $15,000. Avidia Bank, honest to goodness, member FDIC, member DIF. Quickly, Greg, on Stephon Gilmore. He returns for the first time in three games today. Just looking at it, and this is obviously before you've had a chance to look at the coach's film, but I don't know, just eyeball test. How do you think he played today?
Who was that?
Stephon Gilmore.
It looked like he did well. I mean, a couple times he made a couple physical tackles. So, yeah, it looked like he acclimated himself well. It was strange not to see him in a lot of man coverage. I mean, I know the thinking behind that is you don't want to turn your back on Deshaun Watson and all of a sudden he's running down the field. But look, you have J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, and Jonathan Jones. Those are three of the best man cover guys in the league. And then it was limited.
Let's go to Billy in Windham, New Hampshire, next here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Hey, Billy. Billy. Hello, Billy.
Billy Baru.
It said he wanted to talk about N'Keal Harry, who at this point feels like he's just a penalty waiting to happen.
I was just going to ask you this, Greg. Can Dante Moncrief pass him at some point? I know he had that one catch today, but, you know, could he pass him? And do they want to keep him on the field so maybe he can see what he has and maybe get him ready for next year as well?
Sure, why not? I mean, look, I'm ready to put N'Keal Harry in the released on Tuesday
in the fridge
aisle with
put him in the freezer
with Izzo and Gunnar Olszewski at this point. I mean, I'm being half serious.
Oh, like, Greg, I'm with you.
What are we waiting for here?
Yeah, I know. Like, people may hear that as drastic. If he wasn't a first round pick, he would be. He would be a cut consideration, but they won't because of where he was drafted. But he should be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, exactly. What are we doing here? What is he doing? Like, is he? Is he giving you big plays? No. Is he catching slants? No. All right, can he catch a back shoulder fade here once in a while? Yeah. You know, is he's got penalties every other play? Like, I just don't – like, are we trying to get better here or, what? You know, what's the story? Because right now you have guys that just are not measuring up. And I think that's hard for some of the other guys on this team to watch, that these guys who just consistently come up short, that there's no repercussions for that. And I think Belichick needs to think long and hard about, you know, do I start to send some messages on this team?
And one other thing I want to say about Harry, whenever he goes in motion, right, do you notice it's just a pick play? Or he's just, like, going to hit somebody? Like, I don't know, if I'm noticing it, don't you think the other teams are noticing it as well? And I don't know. And I just want to throw one more other thing. How many penalties did they have on first down today? I don't think I've ever seen a team get that many penalties on a first down before.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, you know, like we've been talking about, Joe. I mean, it's just, you know, when they get into this grenade mode on offense, and we've seen this from time to time this year where every other play, an explosion's going off. It's a penalty or a sack or a -2-yard run and missed block, and Cam's getting batted down. Like, this is just – they are just, they don't have enough talent to overcome it. I mean, even look at the Texans sometimes today when Watson would get in trouble. I mean, you know, they throw a wide receiver screen and, you know, it's 12, 15 yards for this team. For the Patriots, they can't even get the pass completed because it's being skipped to the wide receiver. I mean, that's a problem. I mean, when you talk about them doing big things, like I have a problem with the offensive coordinator and things like that, like it's just, like, where do we even start? Like, because there are so many bigger problems on this team than individual play calls that they're just really struggling.
So what's your level of concern considering the quarterback play that they had to deal with today with Deshaun Watson, who was nails? Now they've got to take on Kyler Murray, who he suffered, you know, this AC joint thing in the loss to Seattle on Thursday, so maybe that, I don't know, hems him up a little bit. But considering how he plays too, like, I don't feel great. I wouldn't feel great about going into that game next week with this defense.
No, I will say the one big difference with the Cardinals offense is that, yes, they have DeAndre Hopkins and they have Larry Fitzgerald and, you know, they have a little bit of speed and they have a good tight end too. But there's not overall, like, you're not afraid of the speed. And the Texans had a lot of speed on the outside. I think that was a concern of the Patriots. But certainly, I mean, Kyler Murray, he did not play well the other night with the shoulder thing. We'll have to see that how long that affects them. They do have 10 days off, which is really going to help going into this game. It's going to help them have a really good plan. But yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, I still think that Cardinals team is a bit of an undisciplined mess with Kingsbury as the coach who's buried in his play chart the whole game.
Oh, it feels like a false start.
They have a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, it's like a false start every play or something stupid.
Murray had a shoulder injury as well in that game too. So,
yeah, Ben in the car. You're next here with Greg Woodard of Boston Sports Journal. Go ahead, Ben.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to kind of go back to the offensive line issues a bit. I know talent is definitely an issue on this team, but I would say they're probably one of, if not the strongest, you know, position group we have on the team now. But I think one of the things that got us a lot, it seemed like, was those corner blitzes, especially in those passes getting batted down. So I just wanted to ask, is that mostly on Cam setting the protection himself? Is that on Josh McDaniels a little bit and kind of scheming up new protection throughout the game? Or was it a good play, you know, good play calling by Romeo Crennel and the defensive coordinator? Thanks.
Thanks, Ben. Greg?
I thought it was mostly a really good plan by veteran Texans defensive staff that has intimate knowledge of how the Patriots do things as far as how they set protections and things like that. And I think on film, they realized looking at it, and this is something I wrote about earlier in the season when I talked about, like, you know, for this offense to really go places, like, Cam is going to have to get more controls. And because the Patriots offense is predicated on having basically answers to everything that they see from the defense, whether that's in protections or coverage with option routes and things like that. And right now with Cam, it's very limited. And I thought today was more about the Texans than the Patriots. But as far as the batted passes for Cam, I think, you know, a lot of times, and you also see this with Lamar Jackson, you'll see this with Kyler Murray, these guys who are a little bit more mobile, because you don't want to go all out rush against them and let them break the pocket, you do a lot more mush rush where you're just rushing a couple feet and then you're reading the quarterback's eyes and then jumping up. So most of the time, mobile quarterbacks have a lot more batted passes than, you know, say a pocket passer.
Did you come away from that today feeling like that maybe Houston's not as bad as their record?
Yeah, I mean, without question. I thought that the whole year. I knew that offensively, I thought this game had the potential to be high scoring on both sides of the ball. I think I'm just going to have to give it up to Romeo Crennel and the defensive staff. This is now 2 years in a row where they've really frustrated the Patriots. They did it last year when Brady was here. They did it again today with Cam Newton here. So I have to hand it to them. But I do think, you know, everybody's like, oh, that team's 2-7. Yeah. Well, look at the schedule that they had to play.
Oh, those first
part
four.
Of the reason why I had a
– Yeah, their first four games were brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why I had an issue with them firing O'Brien early on in the season. Like, anybody who knew anything about the NFL knew that the Texans had a legit shot at starting 0-4. But that doesn't mean that they're bad. I mean, they went against some really rough teams to start the season. And, you know, to me, that's what got them off to a rough start. And that's sort of why, I mean, they open up with the Chiefs,
yeah.
The Ravens, the Steelers, the Vikings, who are better than their record. Then they have the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Packers. Like, that's a killer schedule to start the season. I don't know if this team would have done better than, you know, 1-6.
Yeah, I just hope that they get a real coach for Watson going forward. He's a joy to watch.
Yeah, who do you think would probably be the front runner for that? That's probably one of the best jobs available, right? With that quarterback?
I would think they would look at Bieniemy first.
Yeah.
You know, with all the pressure that's out there to hire him. And look, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, Pete Carmichael in New Orleans is in a very similar spot as Bieniemy, as he's been the right-hand man to Sean Payton and Drew Brees for many years. And he hasn't gotten a head coaching job, and nobody stomps on the table and asking why he hasn't gotten a job. And it's because if you've ever interviewed him or looked at him, like he can't command a team. And you know, there are a lot of questions how he would deal with the media. I don't know. I don't understand why some of those same questions aren't asked about Eric Bieniemy, but I would think that he would be the first guy that gets a look at, but with Easter being involved, who the hell knows?
All right, Greg Bernard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Read his Patriots coverage there. Throw him a subscription if you haven't already. And be sure to tune in Tuesday, 2 p.m. for Big Boy Tuesday on Felger and Maz when Greg Bernard joins the show for a couple of hours. Thanks very much, Greg.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you on Tuesday. All right, you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Got a couple open lines you want to talk about today's loss to the Houston Texans. We'll get your game recap coming up here. But Joe Murray's going to get you caught up with these sports of headlines here, let you know what's going on with some of these late games. But again, you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Back after this on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.